you're trying to finish it, but don't want to miss any of it. It's really good. These are Paul's last words to Timothy and through the Holy Spirit now to us. We're in chapter 4. And we're going to start at the end of verse 17. Last week we learned that the Lord stood with him. Even though men forsook him, the Lord stood with him. Now tonight we're going to talk about deliverance and preservation. How Paul was delivered and how he was preserved. How the Lord did this. The Lord delivered him, the Lord preserved him. And the same goes for us. The Lord delivers us and the Lord preserves us. So this is good stuff here. Let's pray one more time. Lord, thank you for tonight, and do speak to our hearts by your Holy Spirit. And we need more of you. We need to be delivered, preserved, and only you can do that for us. We thank you for your power to do that. Give us your grace. We accept it now in Jesus' name. Amen. The end of 17, let's just read all of 17 so we know where we're at. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. That was Paul's mission in life that he received basically from the Lord. We read about that in Acts. Now the end of it says, also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Now this could have meant a lot of things. It could have meant he was delivered from Nero. Or it could have meant a bunch of different stuff, and the commentators talk about it, that it could mean a lot of stuff. But three scripture references, one's in the New Testament and then two stories from the Old Testament come to mind when I read this. What do we need to be delivered out of? It says the mouth of the lion. Well, what is that specifically in our day-to-day lives? Maybe you can start thinking of stories about lions, and that's what I thought of. Stories about lions. The one in the New Testament, and this is an obvious one, it's just a verse. It says, be diligent, be sober, be diligent, be ready, be on guard, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walks about, lurks about, seeking whom he may devour. So that's what we need to be delivered from. First of all, Satan. Right? Satan's our enemy, number one enemy, and he's out to get us, like a lion lurks. And he's going to attack us. Satan is our number one enemy. The mouth of the lion. What about the Old Testament? We have some stories. Let's turn to Daniel. Daniel in the lion's den. I'm sure you thought of that one. Daniel 6. Daniel chapter 6, we're going to read verse 4 and then 19 and 20. Daniel 6, verse 4 and then 19 and 20. Verse 4 says, so the governors and the satraps, the princes, sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. So the governors, the princes, the world, right? All the world stands for, we've talked about this, we talked a little bit about it yesterday. The world, all that is in the world, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but it's of the world. So they're trying to find fault against him, trying to get him in trouble. They're jealous. They're conniving. Verse 19 and 20. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of the lion. So they threw him in the lion's den. The king, you know, got signed a decree and they got him. They got Daniel in the lion's den. And so the king liked Daniel. He went early in the morning. What happened to Daniel? And when he came to the den, he cried out, This is King Darius. He cried out with a loud voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the mouth of the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, so that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. So he was found not guilty. God stood up for him, like we learned last week, and God delivered him. We need deliverance from the world and all that's in it, and God will deliver us from that. Finally, this one gets a little messier. Judges. And usually in our own lives, my own life, it's our enemy within, our flesh, right? That's what we need to be delivered from, our flesh and everything, all of our sin that we still have within us. Judges 14, verse 1. Now we're going to read 5 and 7. Now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. And he tells his parents, I want her. They said, well, couldn't you find one of the daughters here? You know, they don't go down there with the world. And he said, well, I've seen her. I want her. And so he was going down himself in verse 5. He went down to Timnah with his father and his mother and came to the vineyards of Timnah. Now, to his surprise, a young lion came roaring against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And he tore the lion apart as one would have torn apart a young goat, though he had nothing in his hand. But he did not tell his father or his mother what he had done. And it gets more complicated, where then he goes back and there's bees and they made honey, and he defiles himself again after he's with the woman in Timnah. And it just gets really messy. How this speaks to me is God was showing him that his flesh could be defeated, just how he defeated that lion, only by what? The Spirit of the Lord. And that's what it says in Romans 8. By the Spirit of God, that's how our flesh is defeated. When we yield to the Spirit, then we don't have to fulfill the lust of the flesh. But God was showing him this big, vivid illustration to saying, I'm going to deliver you out of the mouth of this lion physically and the mouth of your own lion that's roaring within your flesh. You can be delivered. So for today, that's what... There's these three things. It hasn't changed. It was always like this. It's always going to be like this. These are the three big ones. These are the three that we need to be delivered out of the mouth of the lion. It just gives us an illustration of, you know, you can picture a lion. Who's been to the zoo and seen and has seen the lions? They're always like sleeping. And if you notice, of the animals in the zoo, they are the most protected. Like, there's most amount of wiring and most amount of fences. There's like three sets or two sets of electrical fences. They don't want those things getting out. They're dangerous. And they're always sleeping. And we were wondering, we've never been able to ask, but do they tranquilize them or something? But I think they're nocturnal, so they're not usually out in the day, but... Scary thing. Nothing to mess with, that's for sure. Only by the Spirit of God can they be defeated. We're going to talk a little bit more about deliverance as we go back to 2 Timothy 4. Let's go back. I got to find it here. Verse 18. So he was delivered out of the mouth of the lion, and we too can be delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Verse 18, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So we have deliverance and we have preserving. We talked a little bit about delivering. It means to rush, or draw, rescue, deliver. We understood, and we just talked about how we there's things that we need to be delivered from, Satan and the world and everything that's in it, and the our flesh. Just a few more examples of deliverance in the Bible. Back in Daniel, we won't turn there, but the story of the three men in the fiery furnace. And they said, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods nor worship the golden image which you have set up. In Romans, Paul says, in chapter 7, he talks about, well, you know, I have this constant struggle with my flesh, and I constantly struggle with it. The things I want to do, I don't do. The things I do want to do, I don't do those things. And then he wraps it up. He says, who's going to deliver me from this body of death, this flesh? And he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ that Jesus will help me overcome it. There's one story that it's actually the first time that delivered is mentioned in the Bible, and it's the story of Jacob. Jacob and Esau. Jacob was conniving. He stole his brother's birthright, we remember, and then he went up and he got himself a wife. He got himself two wives. And then he came back. He was starting to come back down into the land that was promised him. And he heard that Esau was right around the bend. And so he has this great discussion with God. He starts to pray to God and he says, Lord, deliver me from the hand of Esau. For everything I did to him, he's probably wants my life. And he says, deliver me. And interestingly enough, it's one of the first times that preserve is mentioned in the Bible. So this is how it fits with us tonight. It says, after he talked with God, he wrestled with God that night. God changed his name from a conniver to a prince with God. Israel governed and a prince of God, governed by God. And it says, I have seen God face to face, and my life has been preserved. And so God was going to deliver him from the hand of Esau, and the Lord preserved him, even though he saw him face to face. Question for you, what do you need to be delivered of tonight? What do I need to be delivered from tonight? God can deliver you. God will deliver you. There was a great verse in 2 Corinthians 1:10. It says, God delivered us from so great a death, and he was actually talking about physical death, but we can apply it to ourselves and spiritually, and does deliver us whom we trust, and he will deliver us. So it's all-encompassing. He has delivered us in the past from our sin. He can deliver us today from any sin that we're struggling with. And in the future, he can deliver us. God's got it covered. Preserving. What does preserving mean? Preserving. What does that mean? Think about it for a minute. To save or deliver. It kind of means the same thing. Or protect. To heal means preserve. Lost my place here. Okay, and he will preserve me from his heavenly kingdom. So it's the deliverance is not just in the past, but it's in the future. It's looking in the future. We read this week in our study of, it says, the Lord was speaking to Moses and Aaron. He said, when you bless the people of Israel, this is what you should say. And we used to sing it here at the end of our church. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So here's to keep. He's going to keep us. And then we go to Jude. Jude's really about being preserved in Jesus Christ, being kept. The last verse says, that's also a song. Unto him that's able to keep us all from falling. But he'll keep us from falling and present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Lily is just learning to walk, and Bella just learned to walk. And it's neat to watch. But especially right now, Lily falls way too much. But especially right now, you know, whenever she's walking, you know, we're right there to catch her if she falls. And that's how God is with us. God is with us. He's right there to catch us when we fall. So if you fall, we can fall on him and he'll be there to catch us. All right, let's keep going. I think we're going to finish it off. Verse 19, greet Priscilla and Aquila and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed at Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. Do your utmost to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, as well as Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. So this is it. I didn't know if I was going to finish it today, but I think we can. So he leaves us with a very encouraging message that God can deliver us, and God will deliver us, and God will preserve us. He'll keep us. So the question is, what is there anything, let's ask the Lord, is there anything, Lord, that we need to be delivered from? And we pray that you would keep us. But just examine your heart. I know with me, I still struggle. I still fall. But he picks us right back up. And that's what he's talking about. That he will, he's faithful and he's gracious. And when we fall, when we go to him, repent of our sin, he picks us back up and we continue on our journey. He's so loving and gracious in that way. And to keep us. Like Jason was saying last week at the end, you know, he gives us all these rules and he gives us all these guidelines so that we don't hurt ourselves. Heard it on the radio this week, the same thing, you know. He's not up there making all these rules to make our life miserable. In fact, it's the absolute opposite. It's so we don't hurt ourselves. And so we don't damage the person he's made us be, physically or spiritually or emotionally, all that. Our whole who we are. So it's sobering, too. It's definitely sobering to... And humbling, you know, what do you mean? I still need saving, I still need preserving, I still have to be delivered from this mess? Yes. But it's encouraging, too, that he can keep us. And he can make us not sin. You know, we have the Spirit and God inside of us. And when Peter talks about it, 1 John talks about it, we don't have to sin. We don't. We can choose. One verse I wanted to leave you with is in 1 Corinthians 10:13. I'm going to have to look it up because I don't have it written. 1 Corinthians 10:13. We'll start in verse 12. Therefore, verse 12, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Beware. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. Here's the good part. So we can fall into any sin, saying, but God, who is faithful, will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will always make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. With this, you know, God will present us faultless. In my day-to-day life, I'm like, wait a minute, you said you would keep me faultless, and I just sinned. What's going on with that, God? You said you can't break your promise. But there's always a choice. You know, we always have a choice to sin or not sin. So he's saying, you don't have to sin. You don't have to succumb to your flesh, to the world, to Satan. You know, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. God's going to give us that strength to choose the right thing. And so that's what I encourage you to do. And then remember, yes, he can keep me faultless, but I got to choose it too. So let's pray. It's a good study tonight. Lord, thank you for your word, how it speaks to our hearts. It cuts deep, but it brings us into a place of repentance. Your goodness, and when we look on that, brings us into a place of repentance. We thank you for that. We thank you for your deliverance and your preserving us until we see you in heaven, Lord. We thank you. Help us take hold of this and live it out and seek you in this in our day-to-day life, that we can obtain the victory that you say is ours. We thank you of this example of the lion and how it's out to get us, and only by your spirit, Lord, because we're not strong enough to tackle a lion, but by your spirit we can overcome, and we thank you for that. Just pray that you would continue to preserve us and bless us and keep us, as you say, in Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing.